Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Listen to it. So I'm just going to continue from where I left off. But please permit me to rephrase and tell you that one of the greatest advantages you can have in your life as a believer is to know what God is saying. Not just about your journey as a believer, but in your life generally. Now, God is interested in the little things in your life. How you dress, where you spend your money. In fact, one of the two areas that can clearly define to you that God has a huge control that you will know. I'm not saying that you are just saying things spiritually. I'm saying that one of the areas, two areas that you will know that God has a huge hold on your life is when God has a huge say in who you, in your marriage and a huge say in your finance. Please write it down. When God has a huge say, because it's easy for you to say, oh, I am called to this ministry. This is my assignment. It's easy for anybody to say that. But when it comes to the issue of life-defining opportunities, like who do I want to get married to or what do I do with my money? Because these are major idols in the lives of men. People may be following God. People may be walking with God. People may seem to be obeying God. But when it comes to the issue of who they want to marry, they get emotional. Come on, are you see here? They begin to say things like, oh, she's actually a good person. Oh, he's actually a good guy. You know, people begin to rationalize. There are people that are here now. Even God is afraid to tell them, drop every money you have. Because they will not agree. They will just say, is this the devil? When I'll preach a message, when God becomes Satan, you get that message. It's always when it has to do with your money. Because for you, God doesn't need the money. It's in heaven. Now, in heaven, they have eaten pounded yam this morning. Fresh one. But you now, you don't know what you're going to eat when you get home. Maybe you do your regular Indomie. Indomie is everybody's friend. So please know these things. Because when you say, I belong to God, there are certain parameters we will check. Huh? There are certain parameters we will check. This decision you have made about your business, this decision you have made about your finance, how much of God? Is God even a senior partner in that business? And then you are here saying that your business is not moving. People just think that, oh, if I'm doing my business, give God his 10%. It's tax. Taxation. You understand? Tax. Leave us alone. Take. But God doesn't work that way. God is a God of covenant. And you need to really, really understand this thing. Don't be swayed by hearing nice words. You know, there's something about using drugs. When you use drugs and you don't complete your treatment, after some time, your body develops immunity to those drugs and they don't work so much. It's the same thing when a man looks into the perfect law of liberty and doesn't respond accurately to it. Then one day he wakes up and he's hearing the same message and he says, but I've heard it before. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I've heard it before. He's not saying it with his mouth. He's saying it in his heart. So he's not able to respond properly because you don't even know which of the instructions given to you will be very significant to bringing Jericho down. The Lord said to Joshua, when you get there, you're going to go around that place 7 times. No, he said, you're going to go around for seven days, once every day. And on the seventh day, how many times? 7 times. But you see, those were the critical decisions. But there was one other decision that was critical. That one is not like going around. Do you know it's like going around Jericho, you just think it's like a 5 minutes walk. It's like walking around the city of Lagos and not talking. He said, be still and know that I am God. So when he said, do this thing, he didn't even give you permission to talk to your neighbor. they are sorry. Why are we even trekking? Can't we take the horses? It will be faster. Then there were other smaller instructions, but they were very critical. You see, when you've hit a foundation to a point, it is just one small stone you will pull out and the whole thing comes down. God said on the seventh day, you are to give a shout. Excuse me. If somebody has been walking around the city of Lagos for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, he has gone around this seven times, that means he did 7 days' job on the seventh day. The trekking around that city, it multiplied it. That is why we talk about critical mass impact. When you are waiting on the Lord, when you are fasting, when you are praying, when you are taking your confessions, then you get to a particular point and God says, everything you have done in the last 6 days, now multiply, because some people don't understand prophetic instructions. Multiply it and hit that rock. I don't know if you are still here. You see, this is how God works with men. You may not really appreciate it, but that is why that story is in the Bible. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes, give me that scripture in Ecclesiastes, I think, is it chapter 11? Chapter 11 verse 1, I think. I want to show you something. I hope you are hearing something. Are you still here? Cast your bread upon what? How many waters? What does it mean to cast your bread? Sow your seed. You could have eaten it. He said he gave it seed to the what? To the sower and bread to the... So between you and your destiny, you need to ask, is this bread or is it seed? Once you answer that question, whether it is a pepperoni pizza, whether it is a Kentucky fried, you know, just no matter the flavor, it has become seed. Because God can ask you to sew this suit, give it to the brother there, but it's not an issue. You didn't need faith. You know why? You've used the destiny of that suit. You've used it till minus 10 degrees. So when God said, my son, I want you to sow a seed, you just say, amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You have been looking for how to decongest your wardrobe, and now this is a perfect opportunity. Say, yes, Lord. I will obey you always. Mambarabakata. Say, bro, can I see you? Look at the emphasis here. Cast your bread upon. That means when you cast it here, then you cast it again, then you cast it again, you cast it again, you keep casting it until there's a critical mass that gathers. And what? You shall find it after. Excuse me, if you put your bread in water, does it come back? It's not food, it's seed. The thing soaks and goes down. In fact, when they bring that out of the water, you won't touch it again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about building a critical mass. Something that you consistently... That's what happened to many of us. God gave us an instruction and we obeyed partially. The prophet said to that man, strike the ground. The next question I should have asked is, how many times? He assumed that three is a good number. Then he struck it three times. And the prophet didn't give him a second chance. There are certain things in your response that you will only have a window of 5 minutes to attend to. I'm talking about critical mass here. Huh? Because when we say we fasted, God says I fast 40 days. Why not 42? I don't know if somebody is hearing me. You said God said 40 days. Why not 45? Sometimes I'm praying. The Lord says, okay, let's come to the place of prayer. And I'm praying. He says, spend 1 hour. And at the end of the 1 hour, I say, can you do 15 more minutes? That 15 more minutes now looks more like a challenge than the 1 hour. Who knows what I'm talking about? You're now like, oh boy, now die you. Meanwhile, there's this Korean team that is on Netflix that just came out. And you just let's pray and go and watch Korean. You see that last instruction that came, that God withheld from you till the end, is the stone that has the critical mass. That stone that will bring Goliath down. That stone, your capacity to hear God must not only be in the terrains of convenience, but when you have pushed your limit and you've gotten to that end when God said, meet me here, then you must not be in a hurry to walk away, because there could be a last minute stone. There could be a last minute instruction. And believe you me, it will not be convenient. Say on the seventh day, you will go round seven times. And when you've gone round seven times, what do you expect from an army? Can they still fight? They are tired. So what do you do? Shout. That, and your shout must be so loud that we hear in heaven. Come on, say follow instruction. Tell me, let me preach to your neighbor. Follow instruction. That thing God said to you may be stupid. It may sound foolish, but that is your escape. Come on, say amen. That is your escape. So the word of the Lord is the greatest advantage of any believer. It is the only thing that enables you to see battle warfare coming when everything is still calm. Recently, I was on the phone with my mom. I actually had a vision about her. So I called her. Mama, where are you? She said, I'm at home. I said, are you planning to travel? She said, no. I said, don't go anywhere. Don't go outside the house. Don't lock the gate. Don't go to the express. She said, okay, thank you. It was later she told my wife, she has planned an itinerary for, you know, there's something called Yahoo. All the places you want to go. And that, she was telling my wife in Yoruba that if not that Gbenga said I should not travel. Oh, I've entered road. She didn't tell me. You see how people make prophet look like he's not seen well. I asked her. She said, no, she's at home. Meanwhile, she has written everywhere. She's going to go up and down. She told my wife she was telling. Meanwhile, she was not telling my wife that she entered the taxi and the, or a bus or something. And the people there, like some kind of ritualist. She was not remembering that. And Benga told me. My son told me, don't leave the house till I say so. I told her, till I say so, don't go anywhere. Don't travel. Anybody should give them credit. Let them call you. Instructions are key. I'm telling you. And your best bet when it comes to mastering the voice of God is now. The next best time is now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, so this is our advantage. Because everything looks clear. Everything looks fine. I remember years ago when one of my folks was going to get married. They asked me, this lady, she works with the military, but they want to get married with this guy. What do you think? And I said, you are pushing me to the wall. I like the girl. You understand? I like the girl. But we don't use like in this business. Like is not a fruit of the spirit. Come on now. I say like is not a fruit of the spirit. See, I like the way she talks. We are not looking at her face here. There's one man that married two wives in Lekki. The lady now stabbed him, whether it was last year or 2 years ago, stabbed the second wife. The man left his first wife for this other one. Said this one is okay. She gives him peace of mind. Meanwhile, this one came to the marriage with Dagger. The one that Commando and Sylvester Stallone were using in their films. She bought it in the store, in the museum in the U.S., brought it to Nigeria, and she came to practice it on the man. Meanwhile, the wife he left at home is still, the wife is still alive. They are now saying, your husband has died. Come and do burial. I say, it's not my husband. The woman that killed him, they should come and bury him. Scripture says in the book of Isaiah, he shall not judge after the seeing of the eyes. Listen to me. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What does it mean to look unto him? To look unto him indicates that you must be blind to the things of this world. You will not judge anything after. When Paul met him on the road of Damascus, the first thing Jesus took was his eyes. Took it away. He said, I saw a glorious light. And he spoke to me. And when he spoke to me, he said, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? And then the next thing I said was what? Who art thou, O Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Some of you think God is afraid to introduce himself. He's not scared of your problem. He's not scared of the threat. When he shows up on that day, he was going to say, I am Jesus. It is hard for you to kick against the priest. And then Saul said, what would you have me do? He found a ministry. But when he stood up, his eyes were taken away from him, but his spiritual eyes opened. Because when Jesus, our Lord, just went back to Ananias, he said, he has seen you in a vision, coming to pray for him. Paul didn't see that one with his eyes. He saw it with his spiritual eyes. These two eyes I'm looking at are the primary reasons why some of you can't see in the spirit. I didn't say you should go and buy that goggle. I didn't say you should go and bust your eye. I'm just trying to explain something. Building a critical mass. The same thing applies when it has to do with hearing God's voice. Come on now. The same thing. You grow from level to level. Are you still with me? You grow from level to level. Give me back that same Ecclesiastes 11. I think the next verse. Verse 2. Give a portion to 7 and to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be what? This is talking about your seed. You could have stopped at the first, second, third, fourth. God said, when you do 7 is the number, then do 8. It is always the extra that breaks the enemy's back. Oh, I don't know if somebody's hearing me now. I hope somebody's hearing me. I said it is always the extra that breaks the back of the camel. God said, jump. And you just jumped. You didn't ask him how high. Verse 3. If the clouds are full of what? Of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall be anything. Verse 4. Quickly. But he that observeth, what's the stock market saying? Which girl is in town? Which girl has the right packaging? Which brother has fat account? He that observed the wind. You are looking. People, we need to know. We need to take this calculated step. I like her spec. This one is American spec. But we saw her in the realm of the spirit in the future. And she was like my grandmother because she had two sets of twins. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the spec now is not American. It's not African. We don't know where it comes from anymore. Eh? She said, Jebode. I don't know. He that observes the wind, you will not sow. If you are waiting for the day you have money, you will not buy land. You will not marry. Because somewhere in your mind, you think it is money you need to marry. No, it is heart. It's not money, it's heart. You don't have it. So don't say it's money. You don't have it. You don't have the heart. You don't have the heart. You say, Pastor, I'm just trying to be sure. You are not. You don't have the heart. Don't deceive me. You don't have the heart. I say, you need. John chapter 10. Should I go deeper? I have their names, all of them, and their address. I will start calling them now. So a sister is praying, God, you said to me this year, coming to the church, and brother says, you just, you know, I don't take my time. Yeah, you are taking time on your destiny. My brother, open your eyes. The miracle is here. What are you looking for? Kenny now, very soon he's going to born twins. And my brother, the one in Lekki, say we are checking it. What are you checking? No time to check time. One of the ways you will know that your persuasions in hearing God is not strong is when you have to make a lifetime decision and heaven is silent. When the heavens are silent, it's that silence is actually telling you something. But because you cannot read the charts, let me talk to you. Last week I was talking to you about fundamental and technical analysis. Now let me give another concept. I call it resistance and support. Listen to me. What did I call it? Resistance and support. Let me tell you what happens. Every time you get too emotional about your destiny, let me explain what's going on to you. You take a tennis ball, bounce it off, it hits, it touches this ceiling, comes back. You see this ceiling? That those are your fears. I don't want to make a mistake. I saw my dad beat my mom. I saw my mom almost stab my dad. All those things you saw in your marriage, in your parents' marriage that made you afraid, they form a wall over your head. So when you are trying to hear God, you can't hear God beyond that resistance because somewhere you are observing the wind. So the support here is your current word level. Your current persuasions in the word of God. The things you have seen and heard of God. Those are the things that no matter how far you fall, you will land on that foundation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will always fall there. But the problem is if your foundation is a kindergarten foundation and yet you are in a PhD class. Are you still with me? So you need to pull out the resistance of fear. You need to pull out the resistance of emotional attachment. That you feel something don't mean nothing. It's just a feeling. That he has money doesn't mean nothing. You don't know that guy. He's a Tyson. Mike Tyson. When his food is not ready, you will see him. The way his eyes will be becoming very big. And then his tenor turns to bass. Because he can't imagine that his wife has been at home watching Netflix and the food is not ready. Open your eye, yo. The only way, let me tell you, under technical analysis in foreign exchange, under technical analysis, we don't look at what eyes are seeing. We look at charts. We look at graphs. It is if the market is telling us that this economy is going to collapse, or this particular asset, let's talk about gold, is going to collapse, if that's what's in the news, but the charts we are seeing tells us that it is going to rise, we must believe those graphs above the news. That's what technical analysis, because for you to have technical analysis, you have combined more than at least two strategies to interpret the word of God. Hey, you didn't hear that one? Let me repeat. I said, under fundamental analysis, you may just have an impression, you know, just find God's word. Oh, I love her. She's born again. She has the Holy Spirit. She's speaking in tongues. That's it. But under technical analysis, you will bring prophetic impressions. You will bring visions. You will bring the prophecy pastor gave you. You will now bring, what else now? The word of the Lord. You will now bring those four things together to form a strong basis for that decision. Are you with me? So when you say God said, it is not one time, it is four revelations talking together. That's technical. Let the market, let them be told that that brother is not fervent, but you have used four strategies to come to the point of that decision. Meanwhile, that strategy also predicted that in the next 5 years, that brother will be on fire for God. But it will not judge after the seeing of the eyes. So people are telling you, oh, yeah, she cannot do this. Oh, she can. Meanwhile, God is seeing her that in the next 5 years, she's going to be on the world stage speaking in conferences. And because your wife is going, they will give you visa too. Because you have refused to travel. You love that your Ejebode and Ikwere. You just love. You are proud of the fact that you are a family man. You don't think you can decide to get angry and go to Dubai for 3 months. I'm angry, I want to go. You connected with that one. Come on, are you hearing me now? Huh? So the goal here is to build you not to just be strong in the basic way of hearing God, but to be strong in the technical operation of the voice of God. My God. I've not entered the message. You know, I'm just preaching. But if you are smart, you'll be hearing something. Look at the book of John chapter 10. There's a particular verse where Jesus said, we read it last week, no one shall be able to pluck them out of my heart. John chapter 10. 14. Did you say 14? It cannot be 46. Check 19. And none shall be able to pluck them out of my hands. Take 27 and 28. 27 and 28. Quickly. 27. My sheep do what? Now let me establish something here. It is my sheep that do what? Did he say my lamb? What is the difference between sheep and lamb? Maturity. 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 Hey. Hey, are you hearing? Are you seeing something already? Are you seeing something already? This one is technical analysis. Oh. This verse is technical. He said, and they what? And they what? Follow me. That means when God is talking to his matured sons, there is always a point of direction in that conversation. That every time you say God said to you, and all you have are flowery words. That's what some people have. Flowery words. Words that are sweet. They are like some of these perfumes that you know, very nice. Just somebody, some people in your office there, in my office, and when they use it, you just walk past them and you're like, you are speaking in tongues, but you still look. Because the scent, the aroma is heavenly. You see, but it's not cheap. But it's heavenly. That thing is costly. You use your own money to be cutting 300 naira hair. They are using their money to buy 15,000 naira perfume. So you use it, and after 3 days, you can see, you know. You go and ask. I don't know the name. Go and ask. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. When I talk, they know it is me. I also know them because their response shows that they are getting what I'm saying. He said, and they follow me. Next verse. The implication of this verse is that there is an impartation of divine life. He said, and I give unto them, to those who hear my voice, that I know and that follow me, I impart to them a dimension of eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? Because their life will always be guided by instruction. When the devil is out for blood, that day I will tell them, don't go out. So it looks like you are having it nice. It's just that your ears are open to him. You have elevated the voice of God in your life so high, regardless of what the devil or anybody say in the economy. He said, neither shall any what? Any man. That means no weapon on this earth. No agreement in your office. Nothing that is any conspiracy by man shall be able to plug them. This is how God owes them. They will try to drag you. Can you see it? This is you. We will deal with him. We will deal with Job. If not that God, this is how God just held you.
Come on, say that's me.
He said, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hands. Come on, say amen. But the key there is to know his voice. The sheep know his voice. The lambs follow the sheep. I wish somebody got that one. The sheep know his voice. The lamb, please, the emphasis of this verse is not that a new believer cannot hear God. We are talking about mastery. Are you with me? We are talking about mastery. Even if they are playing Davido here, I'm playing Wizzy Wizzy here, I'm playing one other one here, I'm playing one this girl more, $10. Play that one here. In the midst of that noise, your spirit is primed to shut out the noise. Come on, are you still here? Your spirit has been trained to shut out the noise. You can tell what is an attack from something that just happened. Everything is not an attack. Oh, I said everything is not an attack. My time is up. Oh, are you still with me? Did you hear something? I said, We are not saying that a newborn baby in Christ cannot hear God. We are talking about if God speaks to you 10 times, can you hear him 9 out of 10? Mastery. Come on, don't be distracted. I said if God speaks 10 times to you today, will you hear at least 9 of it? That's what we are talking about. Come on, say mastery. Aha. Let me skip some things. Listen to me. You can be in church. You can be in church and not gain mastery. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, there was the father and the Lord of Samuel was sleeping in his room. Meanwhile, Samuel was sleeping in the presence of the Lord. Yet, Samuel had no mastery, but Eli knew what to do. It's not physical proximity. How far is your heart? Are you hearing me now? It's good to be close. But more than that, it's good for your heart to be close. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the scripture says Samuel was sleeping in the temple. He was sleeping in the temple and God spoke to him. And Samuel even answered and said, "Here I am." Is that not what he said? He said, "Here I am." But he could not sustain the conversation. How many of you have had that experience in which God started speaking to you, but when you tried to probe, you didn't hear anything again? Come on, raise your hands. God spoke to you sometime, and then you tried to probe, and he didn't say anything again. The issue with many of us is not that we are not hearing. We cannot finish a conversation properly. Because somewhere you become self-conscious. You become self-conscious. And already you know that if you ask, you will not answer again. Do you understand what I'm saying? I need that scripture. 1 Samuel 3. So when he got up and he went to Eli, Eli taught him a strategy. You see, in business, in import and export, in the import and export market, you must know your strategy. When you see people dying to export their goods, you will not understand because all you know is just eating foreign rice. You don't really know what is going on. When you wonder why foreign rice can be cheaper in Nigeria than the one we plant here, these are some of the reasons, the strategies. And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." When God spoke to Samuel, did he respond? He said, "Here I am." Whose voice did he think he heard? I said, whose voice did he think he heard? The sheep follow the voice. The lambs follow the sheep. That's it there. That's why some of you will have dreams and you will see your pastor in your dream. If you see me carrying cutlass and pursuing you, you are not a member of this church. Yes, sir, you need to come. Let's talk. There's one cutlass ministry on the other street. I'll give you a letter. I'll go there. You see, it's not that God cannot speak to you, but God is not really interested in talking to you as much as he's interested in you gaining mastery. So that when you are in the midst of crisis, the day Eli will not be with Samuel. The day Samuel will not be with David, he will still deliver. Eventually, do you know that Samuel became so proficient in the voice of God that the Bible said none of his words fell to the ground? He became so strong, his own glory overshadowed Eli. But initially, he needed to submit. And initially, when he started hearing God, he was not really hearing God, he was hearing his master's voice. The sheep followed the voice, the lamb followed the sheep. It's a principle. It's a principle. Again, I repeat, it does not mean God cannot speak to a spiritual baby. But what we are talking about is what? Mastery. Hearing God is not a function for the super spiritual, but for every genuine child of God. Are you hearing? So wherever you are in your life, you can begin to hear God. The first voice that Adam had, the first voice, please write this down. The first voice that Adam heard after he was created was the voice of God. The first voice. When he opened his eyes, you see, how you start your day matters. How you start a new season matters. It's not enough for you to tie in the presence of God and then you receive clarity about a new season. And then when the breakthrough starts coming, you are now singing, you are going to lose this atmosphere that is over you. Because when you are in trouble and crisis, you knew the Lord. But all of a sudden, you just feel like, I just feel like a wedu and begi. Let's go to that side. Say, I just finished 40 days fasting. Now, you remember that in the last 6 months, you've not done 10 days. Because now, the prophecy is manifesting. So, we don't need fasting. You don't know that whatever delivers the season, we sustain it. Come on, are you seeing here? So, the first voice that Adam heard was the voice of God. That must become the starting and the propelling voice over your life. I may love you. I may be willing to die for you. But if he says, no, I am sorry, I'm out. Love is not enough. That's why you see, when you see a woman that has mastered the voice of God, they look like men. People will say they are difficult because they don't take rubbish. When you see a woman that has mastered the voice of God, people will say she's difficult. Because the voice of God turns you into something else. Say, for the Spirit of God shall come upon you, and you shall be turned into another man. That's what they said to Saul. Saul that came looking for a business principle, left with a kingdom. That is what happens when the Spirit comes upon you. It turns you into a man. People, so it takes another spiritual man to understand a spiritual woman. Number two, the voice that you consistently hear will pattern your life. The challenge with many people is that just like in the foreign currency business or forex market, you trade today or you go to business, you import rice, import necklace, import jewelry, and then you make $10,000. Then tomorrow you do something, you lose $20,000. So we have believers who are gaining but losing more. They trade today, they go to the market, open their shop in Mushi, they sell $5,000. Then the next day, God said, before you go out, pray before you go. They didn't pray, they were rushing because of traffic. Then they went out and lost $20,000. Then you will remember in your mind that God told you, pray before you go out. But because you think God always understands, that's what is killing many people. If you come late, even if I'm your pastor, I'm working in the same office, and you come late today, and I say, bro, you can't be coming late. Say, man of God, I'm not a man who goes in the office, I'm your boss. Then you come late again, you come late. When we are doing appraisal at the end of the year, I will request that you should be sent away. And I will still tell you, make sure you are in church on Sunday. I'll tell you, because that one is a different matter. Are you with me? Come on, are you see here? The voice you consistently hear will pattern your life. And please, before you think I'm talking about strange voices, I'm talking about the music you listen to. I'm talking about the films you watch. I'm talking about the book, because some of you can read Adliches for your life, for your destiny, and your children's destiny. You will read everything combined together. Some of you bury yourself into the book, you can't take your head out. There are things we enjoy doing. Some people just enjoy going to some of these places where they sell very nice and expensive clothes, you know, and you just enjoy trying them on. You can spend 3 hours trying clothes on, and you don't know that you are weakening your spirit. Because by the time you leave that place, you only have one desire on your mind, how you are going to blow. Say, Omo. And I like that pink one. So I like that pink one. The voice, what I mean by the voice is what the atmosphere you expose yourself to consistently will what? Pattern your life. Whether you like it or yes. They say my time is up. I still have like number three. I will not even look up. So David will not sing. Give me 5 minutes. Number three, you do not master the voice of God by a one-time encounter. Nobody will master the voice of God in a one-time encounter. You master the voice of God by consistently sitting under him in fellowship and by hearkening to his voice. If God talks to you today and say, put on a yellow shirt, and you obeyed, he will not say, well done. If tomorrow he says to you, give Fatima 200 naira, and you do, he will not say, well done. How many of you know when you are in the office, and you do the right thing, they don't greet you. They just tell you. But it's when you now do something wrong, you see everybody shouting. Maybe you don't know, they are on the island, those offices. So Benga just went to take care of the customer, the aggrieved customer. I said, okay. Okay, you can have your seat. Then you know, sometimes you wonder if the corporate world thrives on wickedness, because that's the only way we make our money, on wickedness. By the time you greet him, he will not relax. So, you know, so give her more. She's responsible. Give her more work. There's somebody there painting her face and not doing anything. Say no, don't leave her. Give in Kem more work. That's the meaning that she's doing well. Say you are doing well. Yeah, that's the meaning. You are doing well. The more you hearken and obey to him, the more capacity you have. Oh my God. There's one dangerous. There's one revelation you have not. David, why? The thing is coming. I beg. I don't want David's problem. You cannot become strong in this department of mastering the voice of God without prioritizing the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only voice speaking from the heavens today on earth. And he's a very busy person. In fact, we were warned in scripture, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means he is grievable. He is grievable. He can be annoyed. You come late, he give you query. You come late again, and that query, the third time, you are fired. That's him. It's not like our Lord Jesus Christ. He will play with Pharisee. He will play with Lazarus. He will play with Mary. Even share revelation with Martha. This one, if you are not in my business, get out. You cannot, the Holy Spirit is goal oriented. His assignment is to deliver the nations to Christ. If you are not in that line, please, I'm not looking for you. Go and sit down. If he call you, give your life. Hey, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Get out. Next person. He's a serious person. So if you don't prioritize him in heart and conduct, only mercy will intervene. And that one is not even the department of the Holy Spirit. It's the department of the high priest, Jesus, who daily intercedes for us. His ministry now is the ministry of intercession. This one is advanced. So leave it. God loves you. Holy Spirit loves you. He likes you. Do what you like. But know that I've told you. When God said, the sheep hear my voice, one of the things I want you to grab from that scripture is that the word of God is very proficient and strong within a community. Many people who say they cannot hear God, when they come to church, sometimes the pastor is preaching, there's an atmosphere, you see them, they'll be writing, God is speaking to them. Because when we are under a corporate anointing, the voice is stronger. When he said the sheep hear my voice, he wasn't talking about one. He was talking about the community within that sheepfold. The sheep hear my voice. That means that many of you are saying, I can't hear God's voice. Get into a local assembly that is razor sharp in the spirit. The benefit of hearing God within a community is because when you hear God, yes, sir. Yes, I'm rounding up now. When you hear God within a community, it allows for safety. Hearing God within a community allows for safety. You are not hearing God and jumping into the fire. Somebody can come into a space and say, check that thing very well. There are people that don't want to be in a community so that nobody will judge what they are hearing. Say, let two or three prophesy and let the fourth man, let him judge. It allows for safety. Hearing God within a family, when you belong to a family, it's just like when we are talking and we are talking and your husband brings an idea. Then you say, but why don't we do it like that? And then eventually you agree on something. But it was because you opened up to each other for accurate judgment. So hearing God within a community allows for safety, allows for judgment, allows for rebuke, allows for accuracy. Let two or three prophesy. And let the fourth man judge. The easiest way to detect the voice of the Lord is to always be in constant fellowship with him. And I remember a few years ago, the Lord said to me, I've not finished this message. I don't know. Maybe I continue. I don't know. But are you getting blessed? The Lord said to me after a particular meeting, he said, I want to teach you how to be in constant connection with me. When you are not always praying. And I said, how? He said, when you're on the road, whether you're in the bus, whether you're in the car, whether you are in your office, keep my thoughts in your heart. He said, as long as you do that, keep my thoughts, always think about me. He said, I will never be far from you. He said, if you keep thinking about me, meditating about me, casting your mind, he said, what was Psalm? Is it Psalms? Is it Isaiah or Psalm? He said, for thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that scripture the Lord gave to me. He says, you cause your mind to always rest on me, always thinking about me, always praising me, always meditating. You don't have to be in church to do that. Anywhere you are, even where you are walking, you just meditate on the Lord, meditate on his presence, meditate on his glory. He said, I will never be far. The day you just say, Father, you will see me, because you are not far. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Pray in tongues and begin to focus on the message you've just heard. Declare unto God, I believe this word. Renakatabiando Salemaru Pataria.